very soon. We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
I had a rather interesting turmoil of a day yesterday. I was not in a right place. And for any of those that I affected, I do apologize. Praise the Lord. I'm back. I'd like to go to 1 Timothy 12. Or I should say 1 Timothy 1 and 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Can all of us see ourselves in that place at one time in our lives? If any of us were to stand according to the law of the Ten Commandments that was put out, none of us should be here. We would all have been stoned by now. Verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. All of us are sinners. None of us can say that we're not, if we're being honest with ourselves. None of us deserve what the Lord is giving to us freely, which is grace, and giving us the gift of peace, so we're no longer at war with God. We still have tendencies at times to war within ourselves. It's a hard place to fall into. Sometimes it's a hard place to get out of. But if you get into the Word of God and you start looking and reading, you will find words such as these that can help you through it. because it gives you a comfort and a strength to draw upon that none of us have within ourselves. And that's the strength from Jesus Christ. Amen. Can be a beautiful thing and a blessing.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, let all His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all is within me bless His holy name.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Okay, so this morning my husband asked me the same question he often does. What are you preaching on this morning? I didn't have an answer for him because at that moment I remembered I had a dream last night that I did preach on something. I was like, gosh, what did I preach on? And because I remember it being really good, but that's all I could remember. And then I heard Steve talk this morning and it all came back to me. It's in Acts 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. At this point, Peter was a rock star. Everyone was looking at him like, oh my gosh, this guy is, what did he do? This is amazing. And he could have gotten caught up into his awesomeness or what was perceived as that, but he didn't. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shewed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. He gave all the glory to God and did not take a bit of it for himself. And because of that, you'll see in Acts 5, after the incident with Ananias and Sapphira, it says, 5:11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. That at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. And that was because Peter gave the glory to God. He didn't get caught up in it. He knew it had nothing to do with him. That was just really cool.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give her a little cheer, huh? All right. Well, good morning. We all doing well this morning? Good. I like that. How many of you, I got thinking about this the other day because I did it. So I'm wondering how many of you have ever asked your kids, can you just wait a minute? Or ask somebody else, just hold on a minute. Just wait a minute. You've heard it a lot. Have you ever stopped to think about how much of our world is bound up in time? I mean, we have clocks on the walls. We have watches, clocks in our cars. Our phones have clocks. I mean, the world's driven by time, right? We have to keep appointments. We got game times. We got school times, lunch times, dinner times. I mean, nighttime. All kinds of times. Some of us might have prayer time, you're right, Bob. And when it all comes down to it, we all say that we're out of time. We ain't got enough time. You got bedtime, time to get up, time to go to work, vacation time, summertime. My kids like summertime. I know when I was a kid, I had all these things I had to do. I was going to public school, so I had a time where I had to be to school. I had a time when I had to go to class. I had a time when I'd get to come home. And boy, summertime, that was like free time. That was nice. I enjoyed that. There is this other thing that we have, too. It's called daylight savings time, although I've never actually seen it save time. But we got it, right? I mean, sometimes when people ask us to do something, we might say, you know, give me a minute. Now, that would be cool. I mean, if you could give somebody a minute. I mean, if we could create minutes so that we could give them to folks that need them or keep them for ourselves so that we had more time, and I mean, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? I mean, we're driven by time. The world is just ruled by time. It rules our lives as we walk here. We can't add any minutes. Everybody has a certain amount of minutes here on this earth. Somebody's stack might still have decades of minutes left in it. Another might have less. Everyone is bound by time. Everybody except God. He's not bound by time. One of the things that Jesus said that upset folks was that he wasn't bound by time. Over in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And that stirred him up a bit. I mean, Jesus is saying that he was, that he is the eternal God. I mean, scriptures throughout the Bible tell us that God is everlasting. He is without beginning and end. Jesus is not bound by time. Everything we know in the natural can be traced back to a beginning, but not God, right? Nobody made God, not even God. If you can believe the first four words of the Bible, the rest of it shouldn't be a problem, right? In the beginning, God. It's the first words of the Bible, right there. Jesus doesn't say, I was. He says, I am. He is right now. He is during the time of Abraham. He is in the future and for all eternity. He does not have a beginning or an end. To us who live with time, this concept of eternity can be somewhat mind-boggling, right? It's hard to really wrap our heads around it. It's strange. We'll go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to look at all the tough times that we have as a fraction of a grain of sand in an hourglass. It's nothing more than a blink. We need to see this life for what it is. It's but a minute as compared to all eternity. The attitude of the world is, life's short. Let's get what I can get. It's all about me. In the world, you try to run from responsibility. You shun it. You look out for number one. You see your time as my time. This is my time. I shouldn't be doing that. This is my time. Right? But the wisdom of God says that life is short. It's just a minute. The fact that it's just a minute should strengthen us to endure. I mean, can't we stand persecution just for a minute? Right? Can't we deal with struggles and temptations and these things that we commonly bind ourselves to just for a minute? I mean, can't we wait upon the Lord just for a minute? Well, can't we? We can if it's not about us. We can if it's not about now. It must be about Jesus and eternity. This life is just a minute. And the hope of what's to come is surely worth the wait. Amen.
Praise God. Well, another Sunday. And since we had three speakers already, I could just go sit down. Somebody liked that. They started clapping. You know, a lot of stuff said today in South Carolina and in Vermont. And the one thing that keeps coming to my mind, why are you saved? We know God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And whosoever believeth on Him or in Him should not perish. God so loved the world. You know, the world is not the earth. It's not so much that God loved the creation as that He loved the creature. See, the earth is the creation. The world is the creature. And the creature was Adam. God so loved Adam, mankind. I guess I could say Adamkind. That He gave His Son to redeem us. But what did He give His Son to redeem us for? See, we're born into this life under sin. And because we're born under sin, from the very moment we're born, the first thing is me, 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 me. Feed me. Hug me. Stroke me. Clean me. Feed me some more. Play with me. And it never stops. We just get more sophisticated at it. And it's never enough. We always want more, bigger, better. You ever notice the tendency of man is you get one tater chip and you gotta have two. And then you get your two tater chips, gotta have a third. And the worst is if it's Pringles potato chips, because they're better than regular potato chips. So before long, you've eaten the whole can. And you want another can. It is human nature to always want more. But God did not create us and did not give us salvation so we could eat potato chips. We studied last Tuesday over in 1 Thessalonians. And there's one little verse always jumps out to me. Verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I've heard this preached in churches in the past, especially the Church of the Brethren, that this shows that you are the elect seed of God. It's not what it's saying. It is recognizing that the Church of Thessalonians elected God as their God. They chose God as their God. And let me show you a little difference between electing God as your God and electing someone as a president. When we elect a president in this country, it's under a democracy. Not supposed to be, but it is. And when you elect that president, you elect him to do what you want him to do. Amen. But in the kingdom of God, it's not a democracy. It's not a republic. It's not a dictatorship. Problem with dictatorships is you've got dictators, commentators, fried taters. I don't need to go further with that. But when you elect God, you are electing to follow and obey and to serve under a theocracy. God is supreme. He is the head. It is His will you are to seek out. And that is why He gave His Son, so that His creature could serve Him. Not that he would serve the creature. And if we, in the morning, when we wake up, set our minds first thing, this is a day that God has given me, and I will use it for what he gave it to me for, and that is to serve him. Because if I serve myself, then I am a liar, I am a thief, and I am a cheater. Because I elected God as my God, and I am not serving Him. So now that we've decided we're all liars, cheaters, and thieves, let us change our ways and repent and say, Lord, I want to do it right. From this day forward, know that the time you're given is for Him. That you're to serve Him, not yourself, but to serve Him. And how do you serve Him? By serving one another. When Cheryl serves dinner or whatever she does in service, whether it be bookkeeping or whatever, she's serving the Lord. When Ann does it, serving the Lord. When Melanie does it, she's serving the Lord. When she serves her husband, she's serving the Lord. When Scott goes out and does something on the ranch he's asked to do, he's not serving me or the ranch. He's serving the Lord. When you're called upon to witness or to minister, you're serving the Lord. And if you cop an attitude because you're asked to do a thing, you're not serving the Lord. You're saying in your heart you want to be served. That it's all about you. Now, Paul sat down in verse 6. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. You go out today and you talk about following a man or a group, and you are called a cult. And you want to know what? Same was that were true with Paul's day. Because the true definition of a cult is a group of people that follows the teaching of a man or a group. I follow the teachings of Paul the Apostle, and I follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of it, and I will not avoid it. And I also know that by doing so, I will come under attack and persecution. But it's okay. I would rather be attacked by the world than by God. Let the world bury itself. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. I want to belong to the living. And the only way to belong to the living is to take serious the election of God and to serve Him. And not ourselves. I'm done.
Some bad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Like a
Truth has set us free.
and under our feet He will shortly be crushed. And having done all, we'll stand in victory, making war in the heavenlies, tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory. Making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Our hearts are set apart from the courts of the Lord, and we will not be bought or sold. By the Spirit in us, we will overcome, pulling down every stronghold, making war in the heavenlies, tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory, making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. That exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. That exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ.
Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the words. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world to guide us, to watch over us, to keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.